Wow, it's a great morning already, isn't it? Worship has been wonderful. It's good to see so many folks out and those that are at home. It's just a good day to be here. We're spending a few weeks right now talking about a series that I'm calling Unrestraining. And that has to do, friends, with being unrestrained in how we live, unrestrained in how we love God. And then the main focus that we're looking at in these weeks is being unrestrained in how we worship God. How we worship him, especially being in the month of November, where we know Thanksgiving is coming, and Thanksgiving often comes and goes, and we actually may not give a lot of attention to God. We want to make sure we're focusing on worshiping God without restraint. In fact, as you've already heard in the announcements, we're building toward an awesome worship night coming on November 27th that we hope everybody will be here for in the evening after we've filled ourselves on Thanksgiving weekend. We want to come and just really praise God, make sure we don't miss what that's about. The message that I'm sensing from God right now along the lines of being unrestrained in our worship, here's what I felt like God was saying to me as I was working on this message, is it's time to take the gloves off on our worship. It's time to take the gloves off. You've likely heard that phrase before, it's time to take the gloves off. And what that phrase means is that you're about to get really serious about something. You're ready to dig in. You're ready to fight for it, right? You're ready to fight for it because it's important. And when it comes to us being unrestrained in our worship, it's time to take the gloves off. It's time to take them off. It's time to really dig in, to really fully surrender in our worship. Because the truth is that really worshiping God, it's like doing battle for God. Every time we worship, we're also doing battle for God. I mean, let's be real here. It's a tough, tough world that we're living in right now. In our country, it feels like things are unraveling, like they're falling apart. It appears that more and more people are turning from God instead of to God. And it's very true that the devil is doing all he can to make us feel restricted in how we worship God, the one true God, to take our attention off of doing that. Worshiping, really worshiping God, is taking the gloves off and it's doing battle for him. When we worship God, every time we worship God, when times are easy, and especially when they're difficult, it's just like a blow to the jaw of the devil. When you're being hammered but you worship God, it's like a blow to the jaw of the devil. One of the reasons that Satan works so hard to overwhelm you and overwhelm me and distress us in difficulty and with division is so that we lessen our worship of God and perhaps we even stop worshiping him altogether. The truth is that it's when we're in the most distress that we should worship God all the more. I want you to do a favor for me. I want you to envision me for a moment wearing a set of boxing gloves. As a matter of fact, you don't have to envision it. Check this out, right? So envision me with these gloves on. You can just look and see it. I don't know how they do those laces with the gloves, because how would you tie it? But this is Velcro, so I'm good here. But check these gloves out. This one we'll put on just a little bit loosely. But just check this out, right? When I have these gloves on, it looks like I'm ready to fight, doesn't it? It looks like I'm ready for a battle. Now, with boxing gloves, it may look like I'm the most ready to go. It may look like I'm really serious about my contender. Maybe like I'm even an accomplished fighter, right? It may even make you feel a little afraid to step in the ring with me when I got the gloves on and I'm ready to go. However, if you really want to fight someone, you gotta all this padding in the way, you gotta get the glove off if you want a real fight, right? If you want to really feel it and not just feel the softness of the glove, you got to get a fist that's ready to go. You got to be ready to take that off if you're going to be more convincing. Why? Because this padding brings a restraint to the force of your strike. This padding gives a restraint to the force of your strike. Not only that, if your hand's in this boxing glove, I want to see you, praise God. I want to see you stretch out your hands. You can't. Your fingers are stuck. They're bent. You can't fully lift your hands and point them to the God that you love when you're restrained with the gloves on. So with the gloves on, I can't fight and reach my arms to God and worship him the way that I want to. Today, these boxing gloves, today they're going to represent the restraints and worship that we often have. And the worshiping unrestrained, to do that, we've got to, friends. We got to take the gloves off. We've got to take them off. We've got to take them off. We need to take off the gloves so that we can stretch and we can freely worship God. We need to take the gloves off so that we can with every blow, we can fight as hard as we can without padding and restraint. We need to take the gloves off to know that we're serious about God. We're serious about our worship. We're serious about living. We're serious about loving God and worshiping Him without restraint. It may keep you feeling safer when the gloves are on, when that padding's there. You might feel more exposed when your hand's out of the glove, but it's going to help you fight for real. It brings you to the street in the fight when you worship God without the restraints. So as we get into it today, here's the question. Here's the question. What are the gloves, friends, that you have right now that are restraining your worship? What is the glove for you that's holding you back that you need to take off if you're really going to worship God? What keeps you from being all in for God in your worship of Him? Whatever it is, that's what you've got to take away. That's what you've got to get off. That's what you've got to surrender if you're going to worship God without restraint. That's what you have to take off. In this series, we're being guided by a psalm and a hymn and of ages past and a contemporary song. We're pulling one of each in each week. The point is that the psalms of God, the worship songs of God, they've never stopped being written. They were written in the Bible times. They were written from our forefathers in the hymns, and they're still being written today by Christian songwriters who love God and love Jesus. For centuries, they've been being written. Today's psalm and songs are tackling the glove, the restraint that comes from when we're having difficult and hard times. That's the restraint we're focusing on. When things are hard, that's often what restrains us from worshiping God. That's often the glove that keeps us from stretching out and really worshiping Him. So we're going to look at the glove, tackle that glove of hard times and restraint when it comes to worshiping God. There are hard times to worship God because often, friends, we struggle and we blame God when things are difficult and hard. That's often what we do, so it's hard to worship Him. When you feel like you're being crushed is when it's the hardest to lift up your hands and say, God, I'm going to give You praise anyway. Things are awful right now. It's really hard. I'm going to praise You anyway. It's in those crushing times that the devil tries his best to shift your focus off of God, who has never left you, but is consistently ever present with you. Friends, it's in our most difficult times that it's most important for us to take those gloves off, those gloves of restraint, and to worship God more fervently than ever before. Breakthrough comes. Get this. Breakthrough comes in our worship. Peace comes in our worship. Confidence comes in our worship. Unrestrained worship gets real. It gets real. The very helpful thing to me about the Psalms is that the Psalms aren't sugar-coated. I mean, there are plenty of Psalms that are written in the midst of struggle and difficulty and downtimes and hard times. These are Psalms for the soul that remind us that God is still good and that He's ever present, even if you're struggling to feel that or to know that. When we learn to worship in the difficult times is when we truly reveal our whole heart to God, right? That's when we're really revealing ourselves. The psalm that we'll be looking at today is Psalm 46. The hymn we're using is the one that we just sung, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. It's by Martin Luther. It was written in 1529. And the contemporary song that we'll be using is a song called Into the Sea by Tasha Layton. It was written in the year 2020. Both of these songs, written thousands of years after the Psalm 46 was written, they express the same heart of unrestrained worship that we have when we're in hard times, like the psalm does. Let's start by taking a look at Psalm 46 as a whole, and then what we're going to do is we'll connect these songs to it to help lead us into less restraint in our worship in times that are difficult. Follow along in the Bible if you have your Bible with you, or on the screen if you don't, and let's look through Psalm 46. Follow along. Here's what it says. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose stream make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, I don't know about you, friends, but it gives me just a level of comfort to read Psalms like this one that don't make it look like everything is rainbows and cotton candy. That don't make it look like things just are good all the time, and so you praise God because they're good all the time. Psalms are very real for us. Now, it's true that sometimes are very, very good, aren't they? And in those very, very good times, often we don't even stop and thank God then. We should at least thank him when it's all good. But there's the reality of life that's in the Psalms that say, you're my refuge and strength when I'm in trouble. Though the earth's crumbling right now and I'm drowning in the sea, there's a stream of God that runs through his city, and God, you're with me. And you don't have to fear. God, even when nations are in an uproar, your voice speaks and they melt, and so on and so on. Friends, in this psalm, and in these two songs we're going to talk about, there are five elements of God being ever-present. Here's the first one. God is an ever-present strength. An ever-present strength. Friends, the restraints of your worship begin to loosen when you come to this reality, that God's strength is always present with you, even when your strength is almost all the way gone. Let's look again at verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Now, what's a refuge? That's not a word we use commonly today, is it? Often we don't use that word at all. We maybe have heard it, but we don't really know what it means. We hear the word refugee. We know what refugee is, but what's a refuge? And what does it mean to say that God is our refuge? Here's how the Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines the word refuge. It defines it, shelter of protection from danger or distress, a place that provides help or protection. A place that finds help or protection. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to envision yourself for a moment in the middle of a field, a beautiful field. The day's lovely. The sun's shining down on you. The sky's blue. There's a cool breeze. But then you watch the skies and things begin to change. Things become dark. Gray clouds start rolling in. The breeze turns into strong winds. Before you know it, a storm erupts that seems to just come out of nowhere, right? It comes out of nowhere, and it begins to pour down on you. Huge amounts of rain are pouring down on you, and in that rain, there are little pelts of hail now beating you in the head, and then the lightning and the thunder are cracking the sky open, and you're in this field with all this going on. Now, what are you going to do? Are you just going to stand there and soak it all in and get pummeled by the hail? I don't think so, right? You're going to run. Now, why are you going to run? Because you're running to seek some kind of shelter, some kind of protection from the danger and distress. You're going to look for a refuge from this storm. And finally, you come across a shelter house, like a cabin, and it's open, and you duck your way inside quickly, and when you get inside, someone greets you, hands you a towel, invites you to sit down by the fireplace and get dried off and get warm as you wait for that storm to pass, until that storm is gone. Friends, God's that shelter house. God's that shelter house. He's not the dingy basement you run to when the tornado sirens are going on. He's this warm place. He's a secure, protective place of warmth and comfort that you can step into when the storms are raging all over the place on the outside. This psalm also says that God's our strength. Now, being your strength means more than just protecting you, just keeping you safe and comfortable. Those are all defensive positions against a storm. Being strength says that God's also the one who's on the offense for you. Not only will he shelter you in the storm, but he's going to fight for you in it. Understand that as a believer in Jesus, God is 100% for you, 100% for me, and fighting for you. He's fighting for you. Then this verse says that God is your ever-present help. And I find that one especially comforting. Not only will God shelter you, not only will God fight for you with all of his strength, but God will never leave you. He's always present. He's always present. Do you not feel that? Do you not know that? Please understand that feelings don't change the fact that Jesus is ever present. I'm not making light of your feelings, neither is God. The psalmist here who wrote the psalm, he's not making light of your feelings either. Because you know what? The truth is he's feeling some of the same things as he's writing it. And that's why he knew he needed to also write the fact that was real and true over the feelings that he's feeling that are being lied to him about God. Do you think that when Job went through his loss and his devastation that the devil put on him, that God was just absent, that he was just gone, that he wasn't with him? No. God was ever present, an ever present help to him. For whatever reason, God allowed the devil to work Job over. He did, but God did not allow the devil to take his life. He eventually restored Job and everything he had beyond what he had. Do you think that God wasn't present with Stephen when he was drug out of the city to be stoned for talking about Jesus? No. God was an ever-present help. Listen to what Stephen experienced just before he's dragged out of the city in Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 56. It says, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He was present with him. Through being stoned to death, he was ever present. Now, the psalm says that because we know that God is our refuge, our strength, and ever-present help in times of trouble, that we do not need to fear. We don't have to be afraid. You see, not fearing in life is based on knowing God. It's based on knowing God. When you really know who God is, fear isn't even needed because God has your back in everything you do, so you don't need to be afraid of anything, even if it looks a little bit scary. You don't need to be afraid. Even if the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, even if waters roar and foam and the mountains quake and they're surging, it does not change God. He's your refuge. He's your strength. He's your ever-present help. So without restraint, praise him. Praise him. That doesn't mean that it's always going to be an easy thing to do, though, right? I mean, it's right here in God's word, but it's still a challenge, isn't it? In her song based on this psalm, Tasha Layton wrote it based on Psalm 46, she expresses this difficulty. And some of us got to see Tasha Layton last fall. She sang down on the green in Tiffin. There was a concert there. It was a really awesome time, great concert. And she shared some of her story while she was there. And she went through some real difficulty in life, friends. She grew up in the church, but she was also hurt by the church. And when that happened, she walked away from God. She then left God, started searching all kinds of other world religions for an answer, but then came to just this really low place in life, and she was only getting wisdom from the world. She was hurting, and at her lowest of lows, even tried to take her own life. She learned that in all of this, that all those other religions were about her trying to pursue and achieve something for herself, and while Christianity was about God pursuing her. It's about God pursuing you. And that was a turning point for her, to come back to Jesus. She then went to seminary to pursue ministry. She became a worship pastor for about 4 years. She had some more voids after that. I think in that time or somewhere, she tried out on American Idol, and she went through some different things and became a Christian recording artist and songwriter, an incredible songwriter. The lyrics to many of Tasha's songs, they're just blessed. They're so real. They have great depth. And the song Into the Sea, which I say, as I said, is based on Psalm 46, is one of those songs. And again, it just hits the realness of worshiping God when it hurts. Let me read for you the first verse of the song. This is what she says as she starts her song. She says, "My heart is breaking in a way I never thought it could. My mind is racing with the questions, are you still good? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there with those questions of God? God, are you still good? Get this, you're not the only one. You're not the only one." She continues, "Can you make something from the wreckage? Would you take this heart and make it whole again?" We'll look at where she takes her questions in just a bit, friends. But don't they express how hard it can be to worship sometimes when it hurts? Don't they express the difficulty in doing this when you're feeling like this? Don't they express that just a bit? And I want to turn to the first part of this hymn by Martin Luther, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Let me first point out to you what I learned as I was exploring this hymn. I've sung this hymn off and on for years and never, maybe you're like me, I didn't pay close attention to the words. And so when I was really paying attention to the words, friends, it was written in 1529 by Martin Luther, but I learned that he truly understood spiritual warfare. This hymn, when you look at it in its entirety and look at its words, it's a song about our battle with the devil. That's what it's about, against the landscape of the mighty fortress that our God is. And as we go through it this morning, you're going to pick that up more and more. Let me say this about Martin Luther before we get into part of the lyric of the song. Luther was part of the Protestant Reformation. God used him to help wake the church up to the Word of God, breaking away from just religion and the missed relationship with Jesus. He was a big part of that. But Luther himself had a period in his life where he just really struggled understanding and grasping the grace of God. Luther would physically harm and mutilate his body when he sinned, because he didn't understand God's grace and love. He was in this battle learning about God's love until he could understand his forgiveness, where he would harm himself because he sinned and he felt so wrong in that. But he came to understand that grace through Jesus. This hymn shows what goes on in our faith to recognize the mightiness of God while dealing with the difficulty of the world and the attacks of the devil. Look at the first part of verse 1. In light of what we've been talking about in Psalm 46, here's what it says. "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing." Do you know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like God being our refuge, a mighty fortress. A mighty refuge is our God. Do you know what a bulwark is? A bulwark never failing. What's never failing? I didn't know what it meant. I had to look it up. Here's what it is. It's a defensive structure like a wall built for defense. God is our wall for our defense. God is our bulwark. He's a wall to defend us. Luther goes on in this first verse. He says, "Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing." Do you know what that sounds like? It sounds like an ever-present help in times of trouble. Our helper in the flood, mortal ills prevailing. He's our ever-present helper, as it says in this psalm. Do you find the connection of the Psalms and the hymns and these songs as fascinating as I do? I find it fascinating because here we have through the ages some of the same story and the same message and the same struggle that we have with faith coming together to understand who God is and his mightiness with us. It's only going to get deeper as we continue on. Let's go to the second element that we find in this psalm of God being ever present. Here's the second one. God will help you. God will help you. Let's go on to the rest of this verse from Luther in the hymn, this first verse. He says, "For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe." Now, who's the ancient foe Luther's referring to? It's the devil. I told you this was a song about spiritual warfare. That's what this is about. Listen to how he continues. Talking about this foe, he says, "His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal." I was digging into this hymn, friends, and I thought, well, wait a minute. Luther's talking about the mighty fortress God is, but now he's singing about the devil. He's singing about Satan. What's going on here? And then that's when I realized that this is a song about spiritual warfare. And Luther's saying, there's not a person on this earth who is equal in hate and crafty power like that of the devil, but God is our mighty fortress, and he will help you. Now let's go back to Psalm 46. Look again at verses 4 through 7. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, a holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." As believers in Jesus, we're a part of the city of God. And in the city of God, the Most High dwells. And in that city, there's a river of gladness flowing through that brings hope and brings help in order not to fall when times are dark. But get this, as dark as the times may seem, day will break. Day will break. Day will break. And with the breaking of that day, God will help you. Look at the power of God that God will bring to us in our situation according to this psalm. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. God lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. He is our fortress. The world can close in on us. The devil can come down on us. Our circumstances can smother us, but they are no match for the mighty fortress. He will help us. He will help us. Have you ever felt like you're caught in this dark night that just doesn't end? This never-ending dark night, that night, that's when it's really hard, isn't it? When it's really hard to do this, when you're stuck in that dark night, God will break through in the day. He will break through with day. Kingdoms fall at the sound of his voice. That ought to move us to worship God without restraint. Am I correct? You better believe that I am. And that's the same reality that when Tasha Layton said her heart is breaking, that she comes to in the chorus of her song. Listen to the words of the chorus. "Though the mountains may be moved into the sea, though the ground beneath might crumble and give way, I can hear the Father singing over me, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." Praise God, right? Praise God. Let's go to the third element of God being ever present. The third element is this: God breaks the back of the oppressor. Let's turn back to the battle that Luther's expressing in his hymn, "The Mighty Fortress." And now let's go to verse 2. And here's what he says. "Do we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name from age to age the same, he must win the battle." Luther recognizes, friends, the battle, doesn't he? He recognizes it, but Luther also recognizes the victor. He recognizes the one God has chosen, the one who's at your side. His own son, Jesus, will win this battle for us. There's a word used in that hymn. I'm not sure it was in the version that we sang today, but there's a word that looks like the word Sabbath, but it's not the word Sabbath. It's spelled S-A-B-A-O-T-H, Sabaoth. I'm not even sure how it's pronounced. But what it actually means, friends, is this. It means the host of the armies of heaven. The host of the armies of heaven. Jesus is the host of the armies of heaven, and he's the one God's chosen to put at our side to win this battle. He's the host of all the armies of heaven. If you've ever sung this song before and you sing it again and you come across that word and you now know what that means, you're not going to sing that the same again. The host of the armies of heaven is at our side. That's incredible. Now, with that in mind, let's look at Psalm 46. Verses 8 and 9. It says, come and see that what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Those are battle terms, aren't they? David's using battle terms. It doesn't sound like the psalmist is talking about warfare. It doesn't sound like he's talking about warfare. He is, because that's what he's doing. He understands it. The story of evil versus good, it's like in every action movie, isn't it? It's in almost every Disney movie, almost every Marvel. It isn't every Marvel movie. Every Star Wars movie, whether they know it or whether they're standing with God or not, that battle of good versus evil goes all the way back to the beginning, all the way back to the Bible. That's where it began. In the Bible, the greatest account of good versus evil is there. And God always is on the side of good, always defending the good and defeating the evil. And according to this psalm, even destroying the concept of warring itself. He breaks the bow, he shatters the spear, and he burns the shields with fire. Burns the shields with fire. Long story short, God already broke the back of the oppressor the days when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave. And rose from the dead. Victory in Jesus is just that. Victory in Jesus. The spiritual battle that Luther talks about in this hymn, Jesus has already won. And Luther knew that. Martin Luther knew that. The psalmist here also knew that victory belonged to God. The question this morning is, friends, the question this morning is, do you believe that victory belongs to God? Do you believe that he can break the back of the oppressor and the oppressors on your life that are oppressing you? Do you believe that? In verse 2 of Tasha Layton's song, she expresses the doubt that we often feel. Listen to it as I read it. She says, I've blamed myself. Have you ever done that one? You start blaming yourself. Things are rough, they're dark, they're hard, and you start blaming yourself. Maybe this is because of me, right? Maybe it's because I haven't obeyed enough. I haven't been good enough. I haven't honored God enough, and this stuff's happening. It's dark and it's hard. Maybe it's me. She says, I blame myself. And then she gets even more real. She goes on to say, if I'm honest, maybe I've blamed you too. Have you ever done that one? You ever blame God for things that are hard, difficult? You ever do that one? Guess what? You're not alone. You're not the first one to do it. You can relax. All of Job's friends did it. Job's wife did it. Job even in the end started slipping into blaming God. Get this. God can handle us pointing our fingers. He can handle it. It's not the place you want to be in, but he understands because he knows that we're weak. And the Bible tells us that his strength shines in our weakness. It shines in our weakness. So when we're weak and pointing, he's just being strengthening us, and we don't even know it. And the Word of God says that he finds that strength and weakness. God understands when you attribute blame to him, but it's still not where the blame belongs. God's not the one that causes anything unjust, unjust or bad. He's good. He's good through and through, and all that he does is good. And for the sake of good, bad happens because the world's bad. Because the world's broken. Bad happens because people are bad. Bad happens because the devil's bad and the devil's still here. And this devil's still trying to distract us and the devil's still on the prowl. Let's go on with the rest of this verse where it comes to light. She's blamed herself. Sometimes she blames God, but she goes on to say, but you would not forsake me. Because only good things come from you. Isn't that a reassurance? Even though we're saying, God, how could you? He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't forsake us because good things, only good things come from him. Then she returns to that chorus that we already looked at. Though the mountains may be moved into the sea, though the ground beneath might crumble and give way, I can hear my Father singing over me. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. That, friends, is the reality of this Psalm of God. Psalm 46. God's good and God's trustworthy. He's an ever-present fortress who helps you and who breaks the back of the oppressor, and he should be praised. He should be praised. That leads to the next element of being ever-present that has the ability to free us from all restraint, and it's this. Here's the fourth one. Be still and know that he's God. Be still and know. We come to what I believe is the crux of this whole psalm. I believe that the whole psalm is leading to right here. Everything else so far tells us the why of what this psalm says next. It tells us why we can worship even when there's trouble and things are hard. And then we come to this in verse 10 that says, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. That's the crux of it, friends. That's the crux. When you know that God is God, when you know that he's your refuge, when you know he's your strength, he's ever present, you know that you don't have to fear even if the whole world gives way and the mountains fall into the sea, even when the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake and surge, when you know God ceases wars and breaks weapons and that by his voice kingdoms fall and the earth melts, when you know God, you can be still. You can be still. And the truth rings that God will be exalted in the nations. God will be exalted in all the earth because of who he is, because he's God. Now do me a favor for a moment. Just sit for a moment and just be still. Close your eyes if that helps you. But just be still before God and just listen for him. God often comes in a gentle whisper. Just listen as we prepare to exalt him in just a few more moments, but be quiet and be still. As you are still, now listen to me read the next verse of Tasha Layton's song, Into the Sea. From beginning to the end, you're so close. You have never let me down, and you won't. In the valleys, in the shadows, I know you're close. You're close. Friends, in the stillness, feel God close to you. Feel him close to you. Even if you came in feeling like he was miles away, in the stillness, maybe it's the first time you've been still all week, feel him close to you. And now listen as I read verse 3 of A Mighty Fortress. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. Hear again the words of God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in this earth. We have one more element to look at of God being ever present, and it's this one. The fifth one is this: the Lord Almighty is with us. He is with us. In the last verse of Psalm 46, verse 11, it says, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, our mighty fortress. Life might be hard, but the Lord Almighty is with you. Your situation may be difficult, but the Lord Almighty is with you. You may be knocked down right now, but the Lord Almighty is with you. The devil may be pressing hard, but the Lord Almighty God is with you. You may fall and you may fail, but the Lord Almighty is with you. Worship him. Take the restraints off. Take the restraints off and worship him. Worship him. Listen to the last verse of A Mighty Fortress. The word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them, abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, but God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. As believers in Jesus, even if we're killed, even if we die, we just get a promotion to the most glorious, unrestrained worship that there is. God is ever present, and nothing can or ever will change that. Though the mountains may be moved into the sea, though the ground beneath might crumble and give way, I can hear the Father singing over me, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Let's pray, then let's worship unrestrained. Heather Goebel's with us today, and she's going to sing this song, this inspired song by Tasha Layton. And in your unrestrained worship this morning, it might be that it's just to be still. Just to be still and know that he's God and listen to and follow the words to this song and let them touch your heart. Or the Spirit may just prod your spirit to say, I got to sing. And even if you don't know the song or don't know it well, burst it out to the best of your ability and sing along. Let's pray, and then we'll worship God unrestrained. God, I thank you that it's just not any new news to you that you know we struggle to worship you when we're hurting. You know we struggle to worship you, to even be close to you when times are hard and difficult. God, you know when those strings wrap around us so tight that we don't feel we can even take our hands out of our pockets yet, lift them up to you. And hard times do that to us often, because that's what the devil's trying to do to us. But this is a battle. This is a battle, and when it's about worshiping you, it's time to take the gloves off in that battle. It's time to take the gloves off and lift our arms anyway and to worship you without restraint, and by that we land a blow to the jaw of the devil. Thank you, God, that you understand us. It's all in your word. All through the Psalms shows that you understand us. You understand our hearts and our minds and our conflicts. And thank you that you still love us. That Martin Luther had it wrong when he hurt himself, when he sinned. That we can grasp your grace and understand that you forgive us. And you free us to be in relationship with you and to worship you and to learn to trust you even when life's hard. Lead us now as we worship you. that song Sound Like You was written by somebody who understood Psalm 46. Some of you just need to hear today, I think. It's really grim for some. It's really difficult and hard, and some of you just need to hear. Maybe people that are watching at home too, it's going to be okay. I didn't say it's going to be perfect. I didn't say everything's going to get all better right now. But it's going to be okay. God is still good. God is still present. God is still working. And it's going to be okay. God bless you. We love you. Treat each other and your families well. And we'll see you next week.